Hi everyone, welcome back to Walk with Bex, welcome back into the studio and welcome to a new year of podcast guests. We are in 2024, it is Friday, February the 16th, it's just gone 8:30 and I'm here in the studio with a very special guest, Mike Summerfield, aka Mike the Badass.
Thank you for having me. It's my first time in the podcast studio.
I can't believe you just said that to me off air. You were like, it's the first time I've ever been in a podcast studio and interviewed. That is crazy. That's crazy.
So cool.
Do you like it? And thank you so much for joining me late on a Friday evening here in Dubai at 8:30. I was saying to you off air, I was like, this is past my bedtime.
Yeah, you told me.
But I appreciate you being here. I'm so glad to have you here in Dubai. And I actually thought that you'd moved to Dubai, but you just told me that actually, no, we're still living out of a suitcase and we no longer have a home.
Yeah, you're right. But on paper, we moved to Dubai, but okay. As you said, yeah, we don't have a home. We are homeless people.
So we have a lot to discuss on this podcast. And it was funny because when I invited you on here and I gave you all the details, the venue, where we were coming, what time, I said, any questions, let me know. And you were like, I have one question. What's the podcast about? I was like, you. So I know quite a lot about you in recent years. Obviously, I followed you for, I would say, probably about 4 or 5 years. And I've seen you at Olympia twice myself in person. You've been there 3 times. But I don't know any of your kind of backstory. Obviously, your father is a very famous bodybuilder as well. But take us right back. I want to know a little bit more about you, about where you come from in Germany, the little village you grew up in. I have a client, Inka. Shout out to Inka, who is my longstanding client. She's from Germany too, and she follows you and is a massive fan, and she wants to know exactly where you grew up. So tell us about your childhood.
Very interesting. Maybe I'm going to meet her at the FIBO.
Oh, 100%.
In Germany.
Yeah.
She will be there?
Well, no, she lives here in Dubai. I PT her here. Every time I'm training her at the gym, she's like, where is he? He hasn't been in. I was like, he's had a few days off.
Okay. So I'm going to meet her at the
100%.
Gym.
As soon as you're in at the same time.
Yeah, I grew up in Germany in a very, like, a beautiful, the most beautiful city ever. You can't find any more, like, that's a absolute beauty. It's called Heidelberg. Okay. And I believe that The Simpsons made an episode in Heidelberg of Heidelberg.
No way.
I think so. Some guy sent me, like, a quick shot of it. And you need to, like, imagine an old built castle, like, with a view over the city, like an old city with the river going through, like, straight out of books.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where I'm coming from. But actually, the village next is called Sandhausen. It's a very small, like, 14,000 people. Very small, but beautiful. Like, next to Heidelberg's amazing.
Oh, cool.
I always fight with my wife because she lived in Hamburg. And Hamburg is cute, but Heidelberg's better.
Yeah, I've heard of Hamburg. I've not heard of where you come from at all.
It's the southern part.
And what was life growing up for you like then with, obviously, your dad massively into training?
He competed, I guess, I don't want to, like, 30 years ago. They're not old. They're like, you know, but 30 years ago, he competed with Dennis James.
Yeah.
In juniors class. And obviously, I grew up in a bodybuilding house. So he was like, you should maybe eat some chicken instead of pizza. That would grow more muscle. But my parents got separated when I was 8.
Okay.
But I got the introducing to bodybuilding. And I did many, many different sports, like soccer, basketball. I even joined a fucking chess group for chess.
Yes.
I made the diploma, if you believe it or not. And some athletic stuff, but bodybuilding was always, like, very interesting on the side. And then I was like, okay. Everything got boring, like soccer, all that stuff. And it's more of a team thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody else
messes up. Yeah.
It's my problem too, and I don't like it. And
so you're a bit of a control freak.
Kind of. And if I make any mistake, it's my fault. And I need to correct it and I can get better.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, shit happens in the team and that's not my thing. So martial arts and bodybuilding is, like, a good thing for me.
Mm.
Yeah. So I started working out seriously when I was 11. And my first show was, I was 16 years old.
Wow.
It was a German national show and I won it straight away. And fun fact, I fainted on stage.
No.
Yeah, you know, because, oh, holy, like, that's 18 years ago. There was no YouTube, no Instagram, no social media. And there was a bodybuilder in the gym. He said, oh yeah, we stopped drinking before the show. I was like, okay, 2 days might be good. So stop drinking 2 days out from the show. And then he said, yeah, we take some pills to dehydrate. And was like, oh yeah. I called a friend. His name is Christian. I said, hey, Christian, your mom has edema, right? And she has some pills. He said, yeah, why? Oh yeah, just a question. Just bring it to me. I don't know what it was, like Lasix stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, might be a good idea. Boom, boom. Was not drinking for 2 days. And I stand on stage like, and it was not the super LED cold light. It was very fucking hot lights. I fainted so bad. They pulled me from stage. I woke up backstage and was like, oh, this is how bodybuilding looks like from backstage. Was like, it felt like a dream. And I was like, I know these guys, but I don't remember where I met them. I was like, holy shit, why I'm backstage? And I was running on stage, last two poses, and then I'm done. And I won the show.
You still won after still all won of it. That.
Today, you get disqualified like right away.
Yeah. But
18 years ago, I made it.
And after that experience, you wanted to continue bodybuilding.
Yes.
I'm hoping after that point, you got a coach and learned a bit more about what to do
for
prep.
Yeah, but it took 2 years after the competition, I had my first coach. Mm-hmm. And it's a gym next to Heidelberg, obviously. It's called Waldorf. Maybe you know Waldorf hotels and stuff.
Mm.
That's where...
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah. And we have it's a gym, but it's more like a... it's a gym, but not a chain. It's like a very old school gym. Dennis is training there. Johnny Jackson back then, Tony Freeman, all the big guys from the 90s, when FIBO came around, like they were all staying at the area for the gym. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm training, or I trained, or I actually train when I'm in Germany. And my coach, his name is Eric. Fucking funny guy. 162 centimeters, like a small guy, but fucking huge. And he was cutting hair like this because his arms are like hanging over his lats, like he was cutting like this. Super funny guy. And he introduced me to real bodybuilding. Literally, like if you need to throw up after a set of squats, he was like tipping your shoulder very nicely. And he said, hey, Mike, you know what? Your rest time is over. Go back. Like nicely, you know? That's how I get into bodybuilding.
How you need to train like to true failure and intensity and actually grow muscle.
Yeah, and what it takes to improve. It's not like having fun in the gym sometimes and having, you know, protein shakes and stuff and having a nice time. Sometimes you need to fucking bust ass and it's necessary.
And how old are you at that time when you started working with Eric?
17, 18.
Okay. And did he support you then in your future kind of shows moving on from that? Did you compete again?
No, because there was another coach. He was very big in the IFBB back then, before they got separated. Mm. You remember the time back then? And he was a judge. And I knew him because he was judging all the guys who was winning the shows. And I called him and they were friends. Like they introduced me to each other. Like, hey, this is Mike, blah, blah. And he prepped me for the first German national IFBB show.
Okay.
And I was 18 years old. And the show was the day my dad's birthday. And he watched me.
Your dad came?
Yes. And I won the show. So it was the 11th of May, 2013.
Yeah.
I remember. Super nice. It was like, it was a big, big thing in Germany because it was actually the biggest show in the whole country.
And what class were you in then?
Juniors.
Like, yeah.
But I was just 18, so I was like... what is the division before juniors?
Like novice? Like
no. Like the teenage class.
Yeah. Well, I think it might have been a teens one. It was called teens.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And I competed in teens. Mm. And the next competition, I competed as a junior and I still won it. And that was a guy who competed in the European whatever show it is. And he got second and I pissed myself because I knew he's going to show up. But I was able to beat him. Oh, it was a fucking celebration. I can tell you. I gained like 60 pounds in 2 weeks right after because I was like, holy shit, I won. And I was eating and celebrating myself, you know. And oh, shit, it was hard.
That post-show phase. Okay. And so from then on, you then went to compete. Did you not compete in the Arnolds in 2014?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a stalker.
Yeah. No, I know a little bit. I told you, I know a lot of your history.
Yeah, I got prepared. Prepared. Yeah, you're right. A year after, I gained fucking 6 kilograms from stage to stage. Mm. Incredible. Like, it's the biggest improvement I've ever made. And yeah, I competed. You know Blessing, the
yes,
black guy?
Yes.
I competed. There was a show. We competed together.
Yeah.
And we're still friends. It's funny. Like,
that's
after
mad.
Fucking 10 years. Super nice. Yeah, I got third. And I was the youngest final competitor ever. Like, I was 19 years old. Mm. Top three. And Nicolas Voulion. You remember him, Quadzilla? Mm-hmm. He competed the show too.
That was a big one then.
Uh-huh. Well, it was the only European
championship.
Yeah, and the year after, I competed again. I got third again. Was a little disappointed because, you know, I made improvements and you know how it is. But the show is very stacked.
Yeah. And you turned pro eventually. How long later was it? A few years, 2018, 19?
Correct.
Yeah, and that was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us about that.
It was the first show after the separation of the IFBB and NPC and whatever.
Yeah, it was a Two Bros one, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
you beat some good guys there as well.
Yeah. The Giant.
Yep. I was just about to say, Jamie Johal, the Giant.
He's so fucking big.
Humongous.
Imagine, like...
You're 172, 3.
Something. And he's like 250. Yeah,
tell us about that prep for that one. Who was coaching you then?
Patrick Tour.
Ah, okay.
You know Patrick?
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. We're still very close friends.
Okay.
Basically, we're talking about family and private stuff, but as a coach, he's phenomenal.
Okay. Tell us about that experience for that show then, because that was obviously the big moment where you turned pro and it was like, okay, I'm in the pro league now. This is big business.
I can tell you a lot about it because I was so close to die right after.
Really?
Yep. That's why I have the tattoos on my hands, the nice socks and all that. And I flew to, it was London. London? Was London?
London Heathrow, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. You were still living in Germany at the time then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was not really into traveling. So it was a big deal for me to pack my luggage and all that stuff. And there was no Airbnbs like now. It was not that easy. So you have to find a hotel where you can cook, but you're not able to cook because it's not allowed. And you have to prep your meals 4 days in advance and you don't have a fridge. Mm-hmm. And, super annoying. But anyway, got there and I had 92 kilos and competed in the up to 100 kilo division. But I'm lucky that my bone structure is made like it is, right? Mm. So I look a little bigger than I actually am.
You've got big muscle bellies because of your height and the way you're structured, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a very small waist and my clavicles are a little wider, so it looks bigger than I actually am. And I was able to beat huge guys. And I was happy that I won my division. And I was like, oh, wait, there's an overall. That means if I win it, I can turn pro.
And you didn't know this at the time when you were going to the show.
I knew, but I didn't expect that I will come so far.
Yeah.
And then it happened. I won the category and I was like, what happens if? And you know the moment right before they call the winner. It's actually 5 seconds, but it feels like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And you have to be pro. And it's like, and then all the memories shot into my head like boom, boom, boom. And then they say your name. I was like, and I was so blown away that I forgot to congratulate everybody for, that's what you do, right?
Yeah, you go
as a fair player.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I was like, boom. And everything, like imagine, I grew up as a little child, 11 years old. That's a time when they go out and play soccer and play Barbies and stuff like that. I was in the gym. I was eating the shit I didn't like. And like after years, boom, it happened. That's... You remember as you turn pro?
Yeah.
It's for my, it was such a fucking big deal because
it was an emotional experience. I don't know about you, but I cried. Like,
I can't really remember what I did after they said my name. I forgot. It's super crazy. Like, imagine everything you did as a kid. I don't know nothing about like outside bodybuilding. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school, I went to the gym, I went back home for sleep.
You lived and breathed it your whole life.
I mean, it kind of saved me. Many of my friends already died, drug abuse and stuff like that. Mm. But I was not the guy hanging around in parties and doing that. So it was like a big chapter, boom. And then I realized right after, wait, the roller coaster just started.
You're right back at the bottom again.
Yeah, like what's now? Like you're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, now it's time to unlock all the fucking potential I have. It's not about the strong points anymore. Now they're looking for weak parts. Mm-hmm. Because everybody is strong. Mm-hmm. Everybody is like able to turn pro. They have to be good. And what happened after, that changed my whole life. It was March, I guess, like a month out from the FIBO. And I didn't know that I have a gene disease.
Okay.
Like a kind of sickness. Nobody knew it. And I got it, I guess my dad has it, but nobody knows exactly. And it's called porphyria variegata. It's a gene disease that my body is not able to produce red blood cells properly. And every time red blood cells get produced and they break down, it gets a toxin and gets clear throughout the liver. But my liver failed. I had my enzyme levels went up to 970, and the max should be like 50.
Mm.
If it's over 50, you say, oh, we need to check and blah, blah.
Yeah.
I went up to close to 1,000.
Wow.
And all my skin came off my hands because the liver wasn't able to handle it anymore. And all the toxins went in my skin. And I was walking outside. It actually was my birthday. And I felt like a cribbly feeling. Then it started to burn. Like, do you know the feeling when you try to get blonde with the chemicals and stuff?
Bleach, yeah.
The bleach. Mm-hmm. Do you know how that feels? Like hot burning
thing?
Yeah. My whole body felt like that. And I started to scratch and I felt like, oh shit, like I was pulling my skin off myself. Then I went to the hospital and they didn't know what it is. So they shot a lot of painkillers and stuff, and it makes it even worse.
Because, and with this immediately after the show, like literally straight
like
after?
Like a month after.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, Mike, congratulations. We know that you turned pro. But unfortunately, that was your last show. But as you remember, I did nothing else except bodybuilding. So this was my life, literally. And I was like, okay, now I have to make a decision. And I said, okay, I'm going to try devil or me. If I die, okay. I fucking literally make the decision. If I'm going to die, I'm dying. If not, cool. So Patrick Tour said, okay, Mike, I'm sorry, but that's too much for me. I don't want to be responsible for anything what happens now. And he said, I need you to go out the team. I said, okay, fair. And I didn't know what to do. And it was 7 months after the 31st of December, like quite before New Year's Eve. And I sent the email to Neil Hill. And I, you know, that was a time when Flex Lewis competed and, mm-hmm. you know, big media yeah. and stuff. Like, I like this guy because he's kind of straight and mm-hmm. he doesn't give a fuck. And I like that because I'm German. We're quite similar.
Straight talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, he answered me straight away, the 1st of January, like few hours after New Year's. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, he's that serious. Like, why? And he knew me. I was like, okay, the big guys, the big coaches, they know me. Like, I felt so honored. Then he said, okay, Mike, let's make a deal. I'm going to coach you, but we have to do blood checks every other month. And if any fucking level goes up, we're going to quit right away. I said, okay, deal, fair. Straight, fair. I said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Then we started working and it got better and better and better. And then we started to do the first show, 2019.
What did you change in that time that improved your health and stopped those symptoms coming back? And what was the process for you that after competing, you were like, okay, I need to fix this with my lifestyle, my diet, my supplementation? What did you do? Was there medication that they could give you?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry, but I was their bitch, like the hospital's bitch, for 2 years. They called me, I have to go to the hospital. They made photos, videos. They took skin and made all the, you know, research about it. Because,
case studies.
Yes, mm-hmm. like 0.00001 people in the world have this type of gene disease. And they're coming most often from Africa.
Mm.
And they didn't know what it is. So they made all the research and stuff. And after 2 years, they called me and said, hey, Mike, we have a solution. We found a solution. I was like, oh, yeah? Because I did my research too.
Mm.
I took different type of medicine, and I took other things and tried, you know, see what happens and how I can fight with it. And I found out everything I do, what raises my blood cells, obviously goes into more damage. So I try to lower the red blood cell production, or don't take anything but increase the red blood cell production, which includes, for instance, medication like clenbuterol. Mm-hmm. So I avoided that, all of that. And my levels went down, down, down. And Patrick called me and he said, you know, Mark, you should use Tutka. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it is. So it was not legal. It was illegal in Germany.
Tutka. Which is liver support.
Correct. Yeah. It was illegal. Okay. And as Yuhimbim, yeah. You cannot, back then, you can't buy Yuhimbim, right? And I ordered it and my enzyme levels crushed down from 970 to 120 in about 3 weeks. Boom. Like, mm-hmm. I was quite healthy again. And they called me. I went to the hospital and they said, hey, Mike, we have a solution. And I said, oh, yeah. I brought like a whole bunch of papers, like every blood work, everything I did. Measured, like written down on day, the time, everything, dosages. They said, hey, yeah, cool. So let's see what you got and you can see what I got. Like, let's change. They said, hey, Mike, that's nice, but that's your opinion. We can't, like, that's your thing. Like, we don't need it. I was like, okay, maybe it could help someone who's dying, but okay. So I took their papers and they said, Mike, it's about your protein intake.
Oh, my God.
I was like, are you sure? Because I increased my protein to over 400 grams, which is double the thing I ate at the time, and my liver enzymes went down. So how, like...
What's your reasoning? Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say? Like, yeah, as we said, that's your opinion, but it's about protein. I was like, no, it's not. So every doctor from now learns, like, lower the protein when there's a porphyria around, mm-hmm. which is so fucking stupid. Anyway, that's their job, not mine. Mm. I know how to fight it. I know how to handle it. But I have to make sure, or... I'm not able to use different types of medications in terms of bodybuilding, especially orals.
Yeah.
So I have to make
sure... Anything that has to be processed through the liver, absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have to make sure that I'm quite healthy all the time.
Makes prep a lot harder. You don't have the things that other people can use to get stage lean, to drop body fat quicker, all of these things. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I should say it, but... As you get close to the show, mm-hmm. you need to push really hard to minimize body fat and mm-hmm. water retention. All that, like, come in super, super shredded. And it's not like, oh, yeah, let's pull some calories away. You're going to be good. Like, no, it's not.
No.
You need to fucking dig deep.
Yeah.
And I needed some years to figure out what I have to do to get, like, good stage ready. So we did the first show in 2019. And it was the first classic show ever. In Germany, and I got second because, you know, I competed in bodybuilding when I turned pro, and my heart is still, it beats for bodybuilding, mm-hmm. you know, but it makes.
So what was the change to classic? When you turned pro, what made you want to compete in classic?
Health.
Yeah.
And my bone structure. Mm. It would be, that's what Neil says, it would be a waste if I don't compete in classic. It would look pretty nice maybe with some more muscle, but... My bone structure is basically made for classic, and I should not waste it. Mm. And of course, health. I don't need to push that hard because I competed as a amateur, 92 kilos. My stage weight for classic is 91. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, 2 more weeks of dieting and I'm like, hit my weight cap, cool.
Yeah.
Don't need to push hard on off season, don't need to push hard in dieting. The only thing we need to figure out is how to get stage ready and not like amateur stage ready. I mean,
pro stage ready.
Pro stage ready. And that's a different thing.
So it's a massive journey with Neil then, a learning process through all of your preps with him then.
Yes. And you know, he's super straight and he's super honest. He tells you things you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And I was a young guy, you know, turning pro and was like, okay, let's nail it. He was like, no, you're not. Calm down. 8 months maintaining. It's like, what do you mean? Yeah, it's like basically a TRT. And it doesn't sound really interesting.
Where's the fun in that?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's healthy. It's smart to do it. But as a bodybuilder, a young guy who's like, okay, let's, you know, rock it. It's like, okay. So first show we did, got second in Germany, mm-hmm. and it was an Olympia qualifier. So I got like so close to my first qualification.
When back then, wasn't there point system as well? Could you not collect points a second? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was the end of the year, so. And if you, I believe, if you have to collect points from show to show to show, I think, you know, that's going to tell you that you're not ready to compete on a certain level to mm-hmm. be competitive at the Olympia. And that's what it's about, basically.
Yeah. That's why, you know, you win, you're in is back in now. And I think that's better. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did, again, the maintain and getting healthy and all that. And 2020, I did the European show.
During COVID?
Holy shit.
Did you have to get on stage with a mask?
I need to tell you something.
Okay.
All the gyms were closed. And Germany's like very, you know, no, it's closed.
I remember I was on prep in 2020 as well.
Yeah, Germany's fucking different. When it comes to law, they're like, no.
They put you in prison if you go anywhere.
Nothing. Yeah. And like, if you go out the house, every neighbor was like, hey, there's a guy walking in the street. Super bad. Super bad. So all gyms are closed and I'm in prep. And you know the place where cows and pigs and you're living on the farms?
Yep, in the barn.
A friend of mine, he had a place like that, but it was empty, no animals anymore. But it was like dirty, old, all, you know, old things laying around and like medicine from 1960.
And old machines from the farm.
Super, and, yeah. Oh, yeah. In 10 days, we changed it to a whole fucking gym.
Amazing.
You know Marcus Ruhl?
Yes.
I called him and he was just selling some of his machines in his gym. I was like, hey, we come over. We're going to get some machines. We bought like 10, 12 machines, just basic stuff like leg presses, shoulder presses, mm-hmm. like stuff like that. And we had like 10, 12 machines put in there, like 3-4 friends, like I had a company, my friend had a company, and we're printing documents that we're allowed to travel to do the business.
Yeah.
So we got all the things together and then we trained in silent, like no music, no
covert.
Lights. Yes, super nice. Yeah. But I made it and I qualified for the Olympia in 2020.
What show did you do that you...
The NPC European
That's
show.
That's right, yeah.
And it's a big show.
Yeah.
I remember the top three qualified because actually there were not many
shows because of COVID.
So, yeah.
They had to build the qualifications up to get enough people at the Olympia as well. Yeah.
Top three got the qualification. I got top three. Yeah. Third. I got the qualification. And then I'm so excited. My dad was not able to compete as a pro. He never competed at the Olympia, obviously. And he was always like, as I was a kid, he was talking about the big guys, Dennis James and, you know, the Olympia and bodybuilding. And I, back then it was like Flex magazines. It was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, look at this guy, he's in the Olympia, blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, fuck, I have the chance to bring my dad to the Olympia. Not as a regular guy buying the tickets and he's going to be part of it.
VIP, yeah.
Like he will be with me shaving my ass. You know, full process.
Not your wife, no.
She's doing it right now. But my dad is still doing my 10.
Yeah.
I never ever book a professional 10.
Are you serious?
Yes.
To this day?
I buy the fucking flight tickets. I fly him over and he's going to do the 10.
Oh my goodness.
Since today.
Oh my goodness.
So we bought the tickets and he never ever traveled to the US before. I did 2019. So I knew kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. But I'm a fucking village guy and flying to another like continent is a big thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we bought the tickets, the Airbnbs and all that, like super excited. I was sitting at the airport and they said, no, you're not going to fly to the US. I was like, excuse me, like the show's in 5 days. Like there's no way to say, no, I have to. Mm. They said, no, you need to have the documents for it. I was like, what do you mean? Yes, like the special invitation to be able to travel in the US because you need to be an important person for like health things or like whatever, professor, whatever.
Events, super events and things like this.
I have no idea. And I applied and I refreshed my mails like every minute. I started crying. Like I was so angry. I started screaming at them. Like I didn't know what to do. I was super nice. I screamed. I was crying. Like, and then the plane was gone. God. And I wasn't able to compete. You know what happened? Whole fucking Germany ripped me into pieces. They said, I'm a fucking shame for bodybuilding. Because I wasn't able to compete. And honestly, I was the guy on social media who said, you know what? I'm going to fucking do the Olympia. I fucking qualified. We made it through COVID, through all that. I didn't give up. Everybody was like, oh, no, I'm going to cancel. Like, going to do it next year. No, I did not stop. I was fucking relentless.
Hence whatever the tattoo
fucking,
yeah, on your
whatever
hands.
It fucking takes. And I would fucking eat dirt if I have to. And then I wasn't able to compete.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I had a very bad time.
That's crushing.
Super bad. And it was even harder for me to see my dad. I mean, obviously, he was not that. You know, he's the dad. He was like, no, you're going to be good. Like, you're going to do it next year. No worry. But, fuck, I missed it. Like, the big chance the first time. And then I qualified again. We made it, basically. But it was a super hard experience that you could see, like, literally in about 24 hours, the whole world was against me. Before, like, everybody, hey, like, cheering, hey, Mike, like, you're going to Olympia, we go to Olympia. Then it's like, boom, you're a fucking piece of shit. It was bad, but a good experience. Good teacher.
That's unbelievable. And so after that period, when you were crushed that you couldn't travel, and then, like you said, people had kind of turned on you, what did you do during that time? Did you just go back to training? Did you take some time off? How did you cope with that? That's an incredibly hard thing to deal with mentally.
There was never a thought of not going to the gym, because this is what I did all my life. Like, I have my routines. I do my cardio morning, fasted. If I'm an off season, if I'm sick, I don't fucking care, I do it in the morning. End of story. Then I have my breakfast. It's gonna be eggs. 100%. There's no way around. No flake, no cornflakes, no bread. No, it's fucking eggs.
Yeah.
And I go to the fucking gym right after. There's no way around. Like, freeze hell. I'm going to go to the gym. Like, nothing to talk about. But it hurt me mentally.
Yeah.
Because I feel good when I can be a positive part in somebody else's life. When everybody was shut in at home, like, you were not able to go out. It was forbidden to go out your house. Everybody was like at home, and there was a guy still fighting. Everybody was like, oh yeah, shit. Like, I could be a positive influence on them. Like, okay, we should not stop fighting. We should, you know.
Don't give up on your dreams.
Yeah, don't give up and fight and do whatever you can do.
Mm.
And it was so positive and gave me so much power. And then everything, boom, was gone. Then I realized, okay, what does it really tell me? I grow mentally of somebody else. Like, if they give me positive feedback, I grow mentally. Like, I feel good. That means that I give my energy away to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what this means? I need somebody else to make me happy. That's not fucking good. Then I realized, okay, maybe I should be happy by myself, for myself. And then I need to figure out how to do it. And it took some time. Like, I had a very, really hard time. And I shut myself a little bit down, talked to just a few people.
Mm.
But those people, they're not really into bodybuilding. And I said, now what? You can't compete at the show? Now what? You're sad? Okay, cool. But bro, life goes on. It's just fucking bodybuilding. It's not... Your mom did not die. Like, everything is good. Hey,
yeah.
Thumbs up, bro. And then I realized it's just bodybuilding. Yes, it means a lot to me. It's kind of my life,
mm-hmm.
but it is just bodybuilding. There's something more. Like, there's life somewhere, but I wasn't able to see it because my own world kind of crashed.
Yeah, because you'd put everything into it and it had been your sole purpose for so long.
Yeah, some people say we live in a bubble.
Yeah.
And they're perfectly right.
Mm-hmm.
And my bubble crushed. But there's something else, like life and enjoying sunshine.
Yeah. And being with loved ones and helping other people. Is that when you started your coaching? Because obviously badass coaching is what you do. So you help other people now on their own journeys through lifestyle, training, fat loss journeys, competing? When did that sort of kick off?
No, it was like years before, but not a professional. I was the guy like, hey, Mike, do you think it's good to eat some chicken and healthy stuff instead of pizza and burgers? Like, hey, yeah, you go. Like, go eat healthy stuff. Like, it was not a coaching. It was like sharing experience.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I have some experience to teach people how they can train more efficient or they don't hurt their knees or stuff, right?
You do a lot of that on your YouTube as well. You're very educational in your training.
And I like it because I can be a positive influence. And if I get a message, like I did a video on acne because I had acne too and I know how it feels, it's fucking shit. Like if you go to the gym and that's ugly and you don't feel good. And just a guy just texted me right now. He was like, hey, Mike, I got acne. Like, you know what to do? The doctor said they don't want to talk with me anymore. Like, because I told him I use steroids and stuff. I was like, yeah, first, you should not tell them because that's a fucking red flag. They're going to give a shit about you because they say, oh, yeah, it's about steroids. Leave it. Stop the steroids. You're going to be good. No, you're not going to be good. And I can tell them what to do to get rid of the acne and cleaning their bodies because, you know, doctors most often say, hey, take the pill, you're going to be good. And the pill is called isotretinoin. And this is liver toxic.
Yeah.
And it increases the suicidal stuff. I don't know how to say in English. But you're going to kill yourself in a higher percentage if you take the pill. And this nobody's going to tell you. And I can tell them or can share my experience to help it. And it makes me feel good. And the tool for giving my energy away and get it back, I'm able to use it for business and I can use it for like a button. Like if I have to, if I feel that I have to feel good, I can push the button. I can help someone get positive feedback. Everything is cool.
Absolutely. It's all about the energy that you put out and the positive impact you have on people. You found that with bodybuilding and, you know, being on stage and making your dad proud, that gave you purpose and gave you a lot of fulfillment. And like you said, that's just one aspect of you. But what you've learned through that journey has taken you into now helping other people. And I think it's funny because for us as bodybuilders, because we've been doing this so long, it just seems natural to us to eat our breakfast, do our cardio, do our normal routine. But we forget that those small things that we take for granted or just habitual for us, like we do it every day, they actually are very simple things that we can help someone else with if we can educate them and give them a way of building those habits and those routines. And it can be life-changing. And for us, it seems like such a small thing that we just take for granted and we just do it every day because we've been doing it for years. But for somebody else, it can really change their life, like help them live longer, run after their kids, lose weight, you know, be able to stay alive longer for their families.
And even, you know, bring structure to have more time for family and the really like important things in life. And I'm not talking about the healthy food and the workout. I mean, that's selfish. You can do it to feel good, but it's not about you. Maybe you have family. You should give everything you fucking have in your life to be the best person you can be for your family, your kids, your wife, or your husband. And that's funny that you brought that up. I recently started to, I don't want to call it praying. It's like more kind of a meditation. I was not able to train right after my kidney failed because my skin came off and I was not able to lay somewhere because, you know, skin came off, have many, many scars. And I remembered that and I was like, holy shit, I'm training in the fucking biggest gym in the world with the coolest pros ever. And, you know, everything is, honestly, like the gym is super crazy. And I'm able to train here however I want to train, whenever I want to train. I can train with, I don't know, I just ask the guy next to me, like, hey, we can have a great time, let's work together. Like, I can be so fucking thankful. And, you know, sometimes you wake up like, ah, fuck, today's legs. I don't feel good. I'm not going to do it today. I was like, wait a minute. Then I go to the gym, sit down for a minute, close my eyes, listen to the music. I was like, I'm in the biggest fucking gym right now. I can do whatever the fuck I want and nobody's going to tell me shit. Like, if I'm going to do 300 sets of squats, cool. Nobody's going to judge me for that.
I saw you in the Smith machine doing them. That was crazy the other day. But I think you're absolutely right. I think what you've just described is, yes, to a degree, it's a form of meditation, but it's self-awareness and it's practicing gratitude. and starting off your day by saying, I'm grateful. Like, I have so much to be grateful for. You mentioned off air that at the moment you guys are living out of a suitcase and you're here, there and everywhere. But I bet you're fucking happy because you're grateful to be in each other's company. You get to live the life that you choose to live, you get to travel wherever you want to travel. And I think it's that mentality of, okay, I might wake up and think, oh, I'm a bit tired and I've got legs today, but it's, I get to train legs today. I get to wake up today. Mm-hmm. I get to go to the gym today. I have this amazing place that I can go and train at. There are some people that don't have a gym nearby. There's people that can't train. Yeah. So I think it's that I get to, and I'm grateful for. I think that mentality just takes a lot of people a long way, but so many find it very difficult because they're stuck in that negative headspace.
It takes so much pressure off my shoulders. You wake up and you know you need to go to the gym and you need to crack records. Like, it's about to improve. Mm-hmm. You know that. Like, you know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. That's why we go to the gym. And it gives you kind of pressure to nail it today. You have to. And then you can go step back and think like, hey, I'm able to do what I want to. Mm-hmm. And as we lived in Mexico, we moved to Mexico, right? Like, after we canceled the flats in Germany and stuff. And
what was Mexico like?
Oh, okay. Let me tell you. You're gonna, super nice. We booked an Airbnb in Mexico and we didn't know anything.
You literally had never been there before?
No. I was there in Mexico City for some days to travel because of COVID, travel ban, Germany, USA. You have to fly to Mexico, mm-hmm. stay there for 2 weeks and then you're able to travel to the US.
Yeah.
So I had some time in Mexico, but it was like home, gym, home, gym, Walmart, home, gym, like South Africa, Mexico, Germany, I don't know. Like,
it's yeah, it's gym, like a stop off. It's not actually time spent there.
No. You can't see anything. You don't want to see anything. Like, you want to sleep, basically.
Yeah.
So we booked an Airbnb, a little more far outside. And maybe you remember or you know the super nice Caribbean beaches in Mexico, palms,
nice
sand, super blue water.
Beautiful.
Super nice. That's a place where we lived.
Okay.
In Cancun, you know, Cancun, yeah. Tulum.
Cancun.
And
yeah.
The place between is called Playa del Carmen. Beautiful. And we rent an Airbnb outside because, you know, we don't want to have the busy life and party and stuff. But outside means in the jungle. There was no light. There was no hot water. There was no running water to drink. And then I was like, she was in prep. She was prepping that time. And I was like, okay, shit, where can I get water from? And then I have to walk like fucking 40 minutes to the next supermarket and carry, you know, the straps.
Mm-hmm.
I used the straps to carry the water. Like,
smart.
20 kilos bottles. Like, I was walking and walking and walking. And Mexico is known for the big rainstorms. And we didn't have a car, no scooter, no bicycle. We were walking to the gym every day, 40 minutes. And then it started to rain. And it's not rain. It's like, you remember a few days ago here in Dubai?
Uh-huh.
Car became boats.
Yep.
That's a daily fucking base in Mexico. And it didn't care if you're like wet or we were sweating. Like, we were walking. And you have to figure out, okay, how can we get all the groceries? Because you had to walk. It was in the jungle. It wasn't in the city where you can take, like, and there's a taxi mafia.
Oh my,
you cannot
goodness,
take a
no,
taxi.
No,
they're going to shoot each other. It's Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a super nice place and a touristic area.
But
like,
it's nice when you stay in an all-inclusive hotel and you're safe, not when you live on the outside and you're fending for yourselves.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And it was literally, like, I mean, literally in the jungle, there were like snakes.
Oh my God.
Spiders, like super creepy animals. And I'm kind of old school. Like, I have to make sure that she's good.
Of course.
I'm the fucking man in the house. I have to bring the food, you know what I mean? So I was the guy walking to the supermarket and carry all the stuff. But it was a good experience.
Mm.
And it's the same every time. Every time you have like a, I call it problem,
mm-hmm.
but it's called pro. So it's a good thing. Plan. So you can learn. And I learned, like, do I really need the fancy luxury stuff? I was like, no, I can make it. Like, I mean, it's not nice to walk 2 hours to the gym and back. It's not nice. You know, a car would be nice, maybe. Not getting wet and stuff. But, you know, you can do it. It's okay. then we figured out, okay, we don't need the luxury stuff. And since today, we don't book any super fancy hotels, Airbnbs. Mm. Now we rented a car because going from A to B in Dubai is very difficult without a car. But everywhere we are, we just live on the really basics.
Mm.
We have one piece of luggage. We don't have a home. It's kind of annoying. And I get a little really, like a bit tired of it. Imagine you go to an Airbnb and sometimes they don't have a proper pan.
Yeah.
To cook. You're going to buy another one.
But buy a rice cooker every single time you go somewhere.
Yeah, but you know you're going to throw it in the trash after 3 weeks when you travel again. And it's super annoying because I don't like to waste stuff.
Mm.
So you need to figure out how to do it.
So do you think you'll ever settle somewhere? Where can you see yourself settling?
It's funny. I've never been... I mean, I've been in Spain, but just for competing. Just like 4 or 5 days. And I don't know, my wife, if she's been ever to Spain, but I told her like, hey, imagine we have to buy a house. Where do you want to live? She was like, Spain. I was like, I just want to say it. Yeah, you're right, Spain, right? And I was like, okay, that's kind of creepy because there are so many beautiful places, but Spain popped up like right away. And because...
Why not Germany? Why would you not go back?
Because I don't like Germany.
Okay.
But don't tell anyone.
Okay.
Now, I can choose in... under what kind of laws I want to live.
Yeah.
And the laws in Germany don't fit me.
No.
It's too much paperwork. It's too complicated. It's like...
Did you guys meet there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the smallest thing seems to be like the big deal. Anyway, but Spain seems to be the weather is nice. The people are nice. It's more like a Mexican mentality.
Yeah, Mediterranean is nice. Yeah.
That's why we moved to Mexico because the people are nice. They're like super easy and lovely and everything's cool. But yeah, that's it. Like there's not a big future in Mexico, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The place is super nice, but the dedication is different.
Yeah.
Spain is a European thing, so they're kind of different, but the mentality seems to be the same. And I know that Dorian lives in Spain, Yates.
Yeah.
I talked to him in Orlando, and I know that Sergio... is there too?
Yeah, lots of people live there.
We're like friends. And I said, hey, if you're in Spain, I will come visit you. That's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to go back to Germany for the FIBO, my birthday, and I'm turning 30.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
2 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. So we're going to be back
I hope Germany. She's got something special planned.
30-30. I don't know what happens. I'm not a party guy, but no. Nobody knows.
And you've got a good while before you have to start prep for the Olympia, so. Right? Long time.
What do you mean?
You don't have to start prep for a long while, so you can enjoy your birthday.
I can.
100%.
I will.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but if there's some food, I'm in.
And I meant to ask you, obviously, we got talking about bodybuilding and the Olympia that you couldn't travel to. Your following preps when you did the other Olympias, how were they in terms of your health? And coming back to that, like, did you suffer in the same way that you did before, or were you able to manage things much better that way?
We found the key.
Okay.
We found the button to press. For regular athletes, it's like the start of your prep, you start pushing slowly and it's like getting higher, higher, higher. Like if you're close to the show and then you're like a week out, you're going to start chilling more and stress down and stuff. It's kind of the opposite for me. It's
you have
like
to push hard at the start.
Push hard in the start and try to manage health. And then you get lower stress, and then like 2 weeks out from the show, we stop doing cardio, training less, intensity down. We don't push anything. And I felt like the less I push, the better I get.
Mm.
And year to year to year, we got like, okay, good, better. And 2022, it was like my face got sucked in. You can see my bones in my face. My glutes were deeply striated. It was like, I was scared by myself. I woke up like before we dried out. And I sent a photo to you like I was, but don't tell anyone. My grandma would say,
you have to say it now.
She's an old German lady from the Second World War.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you. I'm going to tell you right after because this is really bad.
Okay.
I looked very, very sick.
Yeah.
Like a fucking walking skull. Mm-hmm. And I was scared by myself, like of myself. And I said, Neil, we made it. Like, this is fucking paper skin right yeah. now. I can see, like, I can look through my fucking skin. Mm-hmm. And it was the top 5 year. And what Neil is able to manage is the loading phase. He can cut all my carbs 5 days out from to zero, and I don't get flat at all. Not zero. I'm still full. So my loading phase is not like sushi, burgers, whatever. He's just like, yeah, 120 grams of cooked white rice.
Yeah.
Cooked. Wait. Mm-hmm. This.
Yeah.
And I, on stage, bang. He knows exactly what he's going to do.
And that was your best look as well. Like, I remember, because that was 2022, was the same as Darren competed in the mm-hmm. Olympia. We saw you on stage live. Like, it's mad.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the year after, like, obviously last year, we brought a bigger pack, still good conditioned, but I made one mistake. My digestion was perfect on the minute every day. It was like, I don't need to use laxatives, because that's what most classic guys do, like before they go to stage, they take laxatives to, you know, get a small waist. I was like, no, I'm able to go to the toilet exactly 11 a.m. in the morning. So did all the carbs the day before, and we did a tryout, and I was not able to go to the toilet, because you know what? If you cut water, you're going to pull water from the mm-hmm. digestive system too. Yeah. I was like, okay, now five hours until showtime. I was like, no, that's not going to work. You can do like whatever. It's not going to work in 5 hours. So I had a bitter meat, like a thicker midsection. But I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
2 weeks after, I did the Bogota show to qualify for this year. And I knew exactly what to do, and it worked super good. So it was really like out from the books, year per year per year, making mistakes, learning, mistake, learning, mistake,
learning.
But
that's bodybuilding. That's what you have to do, literally. Yeah. And you do, you learn and you get better each time.
But people have to see it. Mm. They watch the Olympian and say, oh no, he's not, like he's not in. Yeah, because he made a mistake. But you know what? If he's fucking smart enough, he's going to learn. Mm. And he get better.
And that's something you are with your audience, is you're very honest. You're honest with your Instagram audience, on your YouTube. You talk about all the things that you're learning. You talk about your health, how you get your blood work checked, how, you know, travel has affected your edema and the swelling that you're having in your, all of these things. You're very open. And I think that's why your audience really respects you and why you have such a good following as well. So I guess my question to you then is, are you staying in Classic for this year's Olympia?
Oh.
Because you're looking pretty swole in a good way.
And I can tell you, it's my first off-season since 4 years.
That's what I was going to say, because you told me you were just maintaining, compete again.
No, I eat loads of food. I train insane. And I can tell you, it's so much fun.
You enjoying it, getting big?
Like, honestly, what doesn't feel really good is waking up with, like, hands like chickens, boiled chickens. We always make fun about it. She's, you know, in the morning when you're like waking up and she's taking my hand, was like,
she can't. Yeah. She, I remember that with Darren. When Darren was 280 pounds, I was like, I couldn't hold his hand. I was like, babe, this isn't going to work. I'll just have to claw you.
Even if you shake somebody's hand, they're not able to go around because your hand is so thick.
Yeah.
Super funny. It's the first time I experienced that again after years, right? And that's not that funny, but I can eat. Like, I love to eat. Mm-hmm. I love to train, like, balls to the walls.
It's so different, isn't it, when you're on more food and you can really go for it. But you haven't answered my question, so are we sideswiping that?
I try to.
You're trying to avoid that one.
Yeah, okay. Beeline it.
Okay, so we'll just have to wait and see what shows up.
I don't want to answer it.
Okay.
Wait until October. You're going to see.
Okay. I'm excited for it. Are you staying in Dubai for a little bit longer? Where are you planning on prepping? What's going to be your base for prep if you're traveling so much?
I don't know, honestly. My wife, she made some plans.
And as wives do, without telling husbands.
Like, she's the brain and structure behind my life. And we're basically one person. We do everything together. Everything.
Same. Me and Darren the same.
So nice. You enjoying it?
Love it.
Yeah, super.
We spend every single day together. What have we got to complain about? Okay. Well, maybe he complains about it, but come on. I think there's lots of benefits to doing what we do. When you're living the bodybuilding lifestyle, your work is online coaching, you get to work for yourself. The benefits are is you get to choose how you live your life. And I'm always so grateful for that. And I say that to him every single morning when we sit down and have breakfast together. I'm like, we get to have breakfast together every single morning.
Yeah.
most couples are like, bye, see you at 6 p.m. when you're finished with work. We don't. Can we drive to the gym together. We come back together. We work at home.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any big argues?
Not really.
Me neither.
No, what have we got to argue about? Because we live in the same like routine. Everything's the same.
Yeah.
We all know, we know what our kind of roles are in the house, how we kind of prepare our meals, what time we eat. We're just in sync, if that makes sense. Everything's just in sync.
I totally feel it. It's the same with
apart
me.
Apart from now when he's like 2 weeks out. From
He's dead.
And he's just like, a bit gone. Like the compliments
have
gone.
That's fair.
And he doesn't really notice if I do something in the house. Yeah, there's no thank yous, but that's about it.
He can rely, like...
When I was the same?
Yeah, like, he knows exactly, okay, she has my back. She got my back.
Like, today, he was training legs. Sorry, we're totally going off topic, but he was training legs today, and he asked me to spot him in the pendulum, and he got so fucking annoyed at the machine. He was like, for fuck's sake. He was like, my legs won't move. They won't contract. I said, babe, if you had a client saying to you, at 2 weeks out, their leg session was shit, what would you say? You're 2 weeks out. You're not going to be hitting any PBs.
Yeah.
Like, cop on. Come on. It's just your head's not there.
Yeah, I love it. Like, she's so honest. Sometimes I don't want to hear, but she's right. Like, okay, yeah, fair, okay, hands down.
And it's nice that you live the same lifestyle and that she competes so as well. Yeah.
Peace in my mind.
Oh, okay. So, sorry, to answer that question, where do you think you'll base yourself for prep?
She booked tickets for 30 seconds to Mars, which is in Chicago. So we have to be in Chicago.
Love that.
Oh, funny thing behind it. I was booked for a guest posing.
Yeah.
And as I said, we don't have a home. We're homeless people. And I said, like, I called the promoter. I said, hey, bro, do you know any Airbnb or a hotel where we can stay? I was like, you know what? I have a big house. I was like, what do you mean? to a German guy, it's like, hey, I have a big house.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, bro. But he said literally, like, you can stay at my house. I was like, okay, let's give it a chance. His name is Matt. He's doing the Midwinter Classic NPC show. The best amateur show I ever saw in my life. Unlimited pizza, backstage, suites, everything. Super nice. And he invited me to stay at his house and to come in his gym. And it's called the America's Gym. Nice people, good machines, super vibe.
Decent.
Like, really, like, bodybuilding. Mm. It's not a big, big, big gym, but everything you need. Then we stayed at his house. And she loves the U.S. My wife loves the U.S. And, yeah, I believe that this is a good place for, you know, head-free, doing my thing. Because I feel good when she feels good. I know she likes to play, so if she's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I can do my thing. We can have the food. There's Walmart, and there's a Mexican store next by. So
happy days.
Yeah, lots of avocado.
Oh. And how are things going with business at the moment? Obviously, you've got your coaching business. Have you got lots of clients that you're working with? Anyone that's competing, or is it more lifestyle clients that you're working
with? No, both.
Okay.
And now we created our own app.
Mm-hmm.
I did the WhatsApp coaching, as most of the coaches do. But I felt like, for me, it didn't feel right because you're texting back and forth. Some information got like just flowing around somewhere and you have to pick it from time to time to get everything together. Then I said, okay, first of all, I'm asking all the same questions from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. Weight, digestion, steps, blah, 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 blah. I was like, we can do it smarter. So we created an own app to ask the same question every Sunday for a check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Weights, digestion, about sleep, stress levels. So it's more like a medical thing.
Yeah.
They need to go through every Sunday and we have all the information in one shot.
Yeah.
Pictures, videos, everything we need to know.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, some like lifestyle clients, the average gym guy, maybe he doesn't know how a hex squat works. So we introduced or we attached videos to
training library.
Library, exactly. So they can see what they have to do and they can put the workout timer so they have like the 90 seconds rest or whatever, and they are reminded to, hey, let's go on, like another set.
Yeah.
It's super, super experience for them. And all the nutrition in foods and macros, so everything is like pretty solid.
And it makes your life easier if it's all in one place as well. So that when you do your check-ins,
I can sit on the toilet and edit some. You know, when you're doing the cardio in the morning, like, pop, 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 pop. It's so fast. It's so efficient. Everybody's happy. And they have a chat included.
Mm.
So everything they need to know, they just send a kind of a WhatsApp. But it's not WhatsApp. It's my app.
Yeah.
Super nice. And that's actually the reason why we don't want to live in Mexico. I mean, life there is beautiful. It's cheap. You can afford everything. We had a house rented from a friend. It was a gated community, pool, mini gym. We like $500 a month total. That's insane. But life is very slow. Like, it feels like time stops. And we're really ambitious about bodybuilding and business. And, you know, then we said, okay, let's try Dubai. And we got ass
kicked.
You've
gone from super slow to extremely fast paced. The complete
opposite.
She was
crying 2 weeks straight, daily. Because she feels the pressure, same as I do. But I try to handle it because I feel responsible to make it happen. And she was like overwhelmed. I can tell you a funny story. You know Joseph Rakesh?
Yes.
Oh man, I didn't know him.
He's at the gym every day. Yeah. But you didn't know him before?
No, I didn't know him. And I saw he working out, was like, hey bro, what are you training? Like, hey, what are you training tomorrow? I do legs. Hey, cool, I do legs too. Let's train together. Okay, so we met the other day. He was like, hey, what do you do? I do like online coaching. Oh yeah, me too, cool. How much do you make? I was like, yeah, $5,000. He said, oh, per day? I was like, no, bro. And I thought he was fucking bullshitting me. And we stopped talking about it because I thought the joke is over. And then workout was done, went out to gym, and he opened his baby blue Lamborghini.
I was just
like,
about to say, did you see what he drove?
Holy shit, like, he was not fucking bullshitting me. So there's a chance to get like $5,000 a day. He was like, oh no, bro, I do much more. I have 17,500 clients. I was like, what did you say? 17,500 clients? I was like, yeah. I was like, how the fuck you do it? I was like, I don't coach him by myself. We have a whole team behind us.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he's been doing it for years. Yeah.
Like, it opened my mind. So, and now I say getting ass kicked is good. You know why? You always fall forward.
Yeah.
If you need an ass kick, go to Dubai.
I've said this on the podcast numerous times and to many people, but it just raises the bar. Mm-hmm. It makes you want to work harder and aspire higher. And I agree with your wife, like, it can be a bit overwhelming, but you need to almost just kind of sit back and go, okay, where can I move forward and who can inspire me to do that? Because everybody in Dubai works hard and you're always being kind of pushed up in terms of like up-leveling what you're doing, but it's full of people that all work hard. And I think it's a great place to be. And if you're surrounding yourself with the right people, you'll learn a lot and you will progress. It's been transformative for my business, Darren's business, like bodybuilding, just training at Banous with all the pros. Like, how amazing is that to be able to train in that gym? You can't not want to train harder when everyone else is in there really pushing. Yep. So I think it's a great place to be able to do that. But keeping yourself grounded, I think, is important as well, for sure.
Yeah. And you know, there will be a time for family, having kids.
That was going to be my next question, but maybe I won't ask that whilst your wife is in the audience. But I do have another question for you before we have to finish, because I can't believe we've been talking for almost an hour already.
For real?
Yeah. You said you can talk for fun. Yeah.
It felt like 5 minutes.
I know.
We can talk like straight.
We'll have to do another one, definitely when you're back on prep again, if you come back to Dubai. But what's next on the cards for you? So you said, obviously, you're doing a bit more traveling. You're thinking potentially go to America for prep. If you wanted to be known for something or remembered for something or for someone to say, this is who Mike is, what would it be?
Two things. The end will always be fucking positive if you don't give up. Or actually, what happens if you don't give up? And being... that's a good thing, that you can be a good influence on somebody else. It's like the combination of what I try to explain, that I don't want to give energy away, but giving away for a purpose is a really good thing, as you know how to handle it.
Yeah. And helping somebody else is always going to be the most fulfilling thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our purpose on life, is to help and support other people. But thank you so much for joining me on this podcast.
Super nice one. It was so easy to talk.
I told you, super easy. You'll have to come back again when you're on prep for the Olympia, for sure. And then maybe you'll tell me which class you're going to be competing in.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Really hope you enjoy this episode. We are back with more podcast guests coming up soon. But for now, like, subscribe, do all of the good things. Go ahead and follow Mike if you don't already. His YouTube, his Instagram. He does have translations on his YouTube if you don't speak German. But we appreciate you. Thank you so much. See you in the next one.